excuse me for my voice, but I have never, never seen anything like it.
Hey, now, if we wanted to hit mailboxes, we could let Ralph drive. We're the best
of friends. Moron, your bus is leaving.
Welcome to this Southern Utah edition of the On the Road Home podcast. This is Ken Crawford reporting to you on the road home. Well, it was a somewhat uninteresting affair in Berkeley today, although early in the game things looked a little too interesting. First quarter saw the teams tied at 3-3, then the Bears finally opened it up in the second quarter, but between a Hail Mary touchdown at the end of the first half and a long touchdown drive to start the third quarter, the Southern Utah had pulled within 3 points, but then the Bears opened it back up to a comfortable 31 was the final score, although there were plenty of garbage time points on both sides of the board, but the Bears were pretty comfortable ahead going into the fourth quarter. In a lot of ways, this win could be considered very troubling. The Bears obviously did not start well. The fact that Southern Utah was able to hold with the Bears for so long before they finally got things going is a real issue. A couple of things that kind of mitigate that, though. First of all, the being a little more competitive early is a pretty normal phenomenon with overmatched teams. They come out and they give 120%, and they just can't keep it up. And then later in the game, the superior team just walks away from it. So also having that strong drive coming out of the tunnel in the second half, again, same sort of thing. They'd have a little chance to recover, a little chance to get their game back and, score a touchdown. But definitely our defense has a number of problems. This defense has really lost something in their pass coverage, and it's pretty disappointing to see. I don't know what happened to Steve Williams. I don't know what happened to Josh Hill. I don't know what happened to Mark Anthony. But these guys were very effective in years past of getting their hands in and breaking up passes, and they're routinely failing at that these days. Additionally, they just don't seem to be getting very tight coverage either. Both Nevada and Southern Utah were finding ways to get guys open, and the coverage from those three in particular was not stellar. And considering how experienced they are, considering how long they've been with the program, it's really, really surprising to see them struggling so much against a team like, both of our opponents. And I'm not really sure what the story is. It's not a case of new players. I mean, we've had some mistakes from our new players as well. There were a few plays where we were clearly in a cover two, and the safety just totally biffed on their assignment and got over there very, very late, just not doing their job. And some of that can be attributed to lack of experience, and they'll get better with time, and they'll understand how to play their assignments more correctly so that they, are coming off of the run assignment more quickly to cover the cover two. But it's really surprising with those three to see them struggling so much in their pass coverage, and it's a big issue. And then additionally, we're still not doing that well on the defensive line with controlling the line of scrimmage. The linebackers are clearly having assignment trouble and making mistakes. And then the problems I saw last week, although not as bad, it's still there where the team is not tackling well. They are diving with their shoulders. They're not coming in and wrapping up like they should be. And it is going to burn us when we're up against players who are better at breaking out of hits and keeping on their feet. We've been a little bit lucky in that so far We haven't seen too much of that, but there will be games in the future where it will be a big problem, and there's going to be some big runs if they don't improve their tackling skills and wrapping players up. Interestingly, when the second team defense came in late in the fourth quarter and gave up that touchdown, the one thing I did see from that unit was much more solid tackling. It was surprising, actually, but it's kind of like the first team needs to spend some time working on fundamentals, going back to, you know, remedial freshman classes and on tackling and remember the fundamentals. Because it seems like it's being taught to our backups who are young, but the first string is not doing nearly so well. On offense, the line of scrimmage is a real problem. The inside running game is not doing well. We are getting dominated, blown off the ball. We can't open holes. The interesting thing to me, and I saw this both last week and particularly this week, was on our stretch plays to our outside, the defense is beating us to the outside. They are thoroughly being the first ones to get there. And there's just no opportunity for either EC or CJ to cut up field. And it's somewhat understandable that, you know, maybe a team realizes that's one of our strengths, and so they're, you know, emphasizing that point. But when we're not able to open up any holes on the inside, it's really a sign that our offensive linemen are getting beat, that they aren't winning their assignments and making the blocks and holding off the people they want, sealing the edges and opening up the holes that they're supposed to be doing. So really, really disappointed with our run blocking. And it's going to be even worse when we start dealing with much better offensive lines, much better defensive lines. The pass blocking is still okay. I'm not seeing anything horrific there. I mean, there obviously were a couple plays where Maynard was hurried, but nothing unusual, and that seems to be holding up fine. If anything, the bigger problem there is Maynard's indecision and inability to decide who to throw the ball to. And that was as bad as ever this week. He made a number of decisions that were poor, clearly not going through his progressions and reads and looking for the right guy. Open guys missed, and then other times where he just gets into paralysis because he is looking at all his options and he can't decide, and it is taking too long to make a decision. And it's really frustrating to see that. Supposedly this is somebody who had command of the offense, and he doesn't have the level of command he needs to be successful at this level. Additionally, he's still inconsistent throwing the ball. There, particularly troublesome for him today were the kind of out onto the flat passes that require some touch. He just didn't have any touch. He was throwing lasers. We saw this with him last season, and it hasn't gotten any better, where he's just, that's the only throw he has, and I think Tedford needs to kind of reconsolidate his playbook and make sure that he's not having too many passes where he's requiring touch out of Maynard, because he just doesn't have it right now, and I suspect he never will. Let's see, other areas. Wide receiver, I think actually this group has gotten better. Keenan is still having his issues of slipping on the turf. In fact, he got that early personal foul, which I thought was kind of, I understand that, you know, it was a marginal situation, but that was not a case, in my opinion, that deserved a poor sportsmanship personal foul. He was just frustrated, and he slammed his hand down and happened to have the ball in it, and I didn't see that as being over the top. But, again, he slipped again, which has been a significant problem for him. It wasn't as much of a problem, but it's still something he needs to work on. I think he is trying too hard, that's really hurting him a little bit. But there's still a lot of potential there in the overall wide receiver set. Bryce Treggs is doing a great job. Chris Harper looks very good as well. A really good-looking set out of them. Finally, got to see Richard Rodgers make a couple of catches. We also got to see why Tedford has been so excited about him. He breaks tackles. He seems to do very well with the ball, catches well. We'll see if the Bears can make anything of it. Unfortunately, passes to the tight end generally take touch. And as I previously said, that's not Maynard's strength. So he didn't get the ball very many times today, but when he did do it, he looked good. So it doesn't feel like the side of the problem is not the people catching the ball, it's the person throwing the ball. As far as the running game goes, I kind of talked about how, the offensive line isn't helping things. And EC still runs hard. I love that about EC Sofelli. He always gives it his all. He always tries really, really hard. He was opening, he was getting through the holes that he could get through. I still think he's our number one back, and really needs to see the majority of carries over CJ Anderson. CJ looked better today than he did last week. He was cutting better, making better decisions, had a nice touchdown run there in the second quarter that I really liked. So he's got some potential. I think that we still need to keep him as a strong second back. But EC's got to be the guy. EC's the one who forces the defense to work harder and also gets the most yards. Along those lines, speaking of our backups, Lasko's run there for a touchdown in the fourth quarter was very impressive. That kid had an explosion once he found that hole. I mean, it was a sizable hole, but still, that should have been a 10 or 15 yard gain except for the explosion he had off of the line and through the hole. I'm really looking forward to that kid in the future. There's a lot of speed in him. It was the kind of explosion we were used to seeing with some of our great backs, like maybe not quite a job at best, but felt more like that than something C.J. Anderson does, that's for sure. So there's some potential in this offense, that's for sure. If they can, they had some early penalties that really hurt them. They did clean that up once they finally got moving. They did put up some points against a pretty weak team. And if they can continue to kind of refine things and work to make the offense more tailored towards Maynard's strengths and just accepting, I think Tedford was optimistic he would take another leap this year. It's pretty clear that he's not going to, that he's pretty much who he was last year, and thus he's probably going to have to readjust his playbook a little bit again. But when he did that last year, the team had pretty, a lot of success, particularly against the more mediocre team. So I'm optimistic that the offense will get something going and maybe not against the best teams, but against most of the teams have some success. The worrisome side of the ball is the defense, because they just don't look that good. All the way across the board, they don't look that good. The talent we've lost in the last 2 years is making a lot more of an effect than I thought. And the youth and the injuries are piling up and creating an overall system. And I think they're a little bit confused by Pendergast's system. You see a lot of confusion amongst them. And that happens with young defense and a complicated defensive scheme. So we're going to see a number of games where the team's going to give up some big points. And it's really going to be necessary for this offense to start clicking more thoroughly than they have been so far. I'm headed out to, I'm going to the East Coast, but we'll be coming back to Ohio later this week. I really don't expect the Bears to come home with a win. It would be a miracle. This team would have to take a huge leap between this Saturday and next Saturday to have a hope at beating Ohio State. It's just not going to happen. You still hold out hope, but I can't imagine that would happen. The defense would have to up its game significantly. This offensive refinement would have to accelerate its pace dramatically. Just not looking good. Same for the following week against USC. That team, although at least the scores we heard on the field, they weren't blowing out Syracuse, which suggests they might be somewhat vulnerable. I can't imagine we go down to the Coliseum and win without a dramatic change in the defensive performance, and then again also the consistency of that offense and making happen what needs to happen. So we're really looking at two losses in front of us before we get to a very manageable part of the schedule in the middle. And the key is going to be, can the team keep its confidence high, its chemistry in good shape through two very difficult games coming up, and then at the same time work out those kinks on offense and clean up some of the holes on defense so that we can beat teams like Arizona State and UCLA and Washington State. I don't know what the final score will end up being, but last we heard, Oregon State was up on Wisconsin 10-0 at home. A great performance for the Beavers so far. That game looks much more difficult. At the same time, Utah losing to Utah State suggests that team's very beatable. That's been kind of my back assumption that they are very beatable. So, but. You know, with the team doing so poorly, you never know. So, but there's a lot of winnable games, though. That's five winnable games still on the schedule, plus Stanford, who hasn't been performing all that well. It's the Oregon, USC, and Ohio State are ones you kind of just have to say are pretty long shots at this point. So, other things to talk about. One thing that's a little bit disappointing to me is when we put the backups in, particularly Bridgeford, we just hand the ball off. And that was great to see Daniel Lasko, do a great run upfield. And I know Tedford doesn't like to run up the score or anything, but it really would have been nice to give Bridgeford a couple of pass attempts. I don't know what it does to hand him the ball make him hand off the ball four times and then do one victory formation. What does that prove? That didn't help his development at all. And I've seen that too often. I think we had to leave Maynard in as long as we did because the Bears hadn't sufficiently put the game away. So it's not how late he came in that bugs me. It's just that once he did come in, we're not having him with a full playbook doing things that are in that limited opportunity he has that he might get a chance to improve and be a competent backup, something that we really need because you never know when that's going to happen. And we don't want another duplication of what happened with Manchin. That was just a terrible situation because he never got any playing time and really, really hurt the team. So that was very frustrating to see. The other thing that kind of is getting to me is I just feel this general sense like the team is not going out there with the level of intensity that they should. Tedford is such a meticulous guy, and he's the staff he's brought in over the years are mimicking that sort of a meticulousness, probably because that's the type of guys he wants to hire. And so he seems to have a team that's following his lead that has this kind of meticulous, calculated attitude. And you just don't win football that way. You win in football with intensity. And particularly on defense, the defense is struggling. I'm not seeing them get jacked up and working really hard and showing the level of intensity I want. I see them looking all too complacent waiting for things to happen. And it's just bothersome to me. I think it actually at some level is a big part of the problem of what's happened to the Bears over the last few years, is there just isn't the sort of intensity that was so natural for the Bears early on when we were coming up out of the ashes of such a poor period, and the players naturally had that sort of an intensity that they don't have anymore. And I see it on both sides of the ball. It was particularly noticeable to me on the defensive side of the ball today, although it was there on offense as well. It's not a good sign. It's not a sign of a team that's bought in to what Tedford's trying to accomplish. It's not a sign of a team that is going to give 100% when it really needs that effort to dig themselves out of a hole when things get tough. I just get the sense that we're going to have a couple of blowout losses this year because the team doesn't have the heart to not lose by 30 when they could have held it to a 10-point loss. And the problem is that builds on itself. It's demoralizing, and it affects the next game, and it's just got its problems. So while the final today will have no impact itself on whether Tedford keeps his job through the off season and how this team performs for the rest of the year, there were definitely some troubling signs around effort, around mistakes, around a defense that is very, very young, around a quarterback who has not shook his inconsistency, and I'm really worried that teams will start to scheme around what they saw from the Bears the second half of last year. They'll have a whole half a year of film to review and look at and say, here's what the Bears have done to be successful. We'll shut that down. There still could be some real trouble. I did the survey on the blog of what people thought the record would be after last week's game. The center answer was 4-8, and I have a hard time believing that that's inaccurate. I have some hope that maybe it's not accurate, but I sure as heck wouldn't bet against it. And today's game only reinforced the significant weaknesses this team had. The thing is, there is potential there, and that's the part that can be a little frustrating. You don't look at this team and say there's no hope. I mean, there were some drives there where the Bears looked really good. There was some explosion at certain times on offense that was really nice to see. There was a whole period from the second quarter, or the whole second quarter, where the defense just shut down Southern Utah, and then again they did good after that first drive in the third quarter. For a long time, they were pretty strong. So, but it's just not consistent. And against teams that are better, that inconsistency is not going to be acceptable. So, very interesting situation. If there's any good news, it's that the news from around the conference is that this is maybe not a strong year for the Pac-12, that there's a lot of very beatable teams. Unfortunately, two of the most beatable teams in the whole league are not on our schedule this year, Arizona and Colorado, who was losing to Sacramento State the last time they announced the score. But there's so many other teams that we do play that are also looking very beatable, between Utah losing to Utah State, Washington State having trouble putting away their weak opponent after losing to BYU last week. Just things that make you say, well, there could be some real weak teams this year that gives the Bears a chance for 6 or 7 wins, particularly if they can put something together. So that's going to wrap it up for this week. I am heading out to the Ohio State game. Really looking forward to that. I'll do a on-the-road home podcast from the airplane or something like that on the way home. And looks like Jason and I, he's really, really busy right now with a couple of things going on in work and personal life. But in a couple weeks or so, maybe around the USC game, we'll start doing our midweek podcast. So look for those as well, and go Bears. On the road again.